The radical Islamic attack on the Social Service Center in San Bernardino, California, once again raises the issue of how terrorism is on American soil, how the actors are very patient, and how way too many refuse to do all that is necessary to search for it, and more importantly, even prevent it. The San Bernardino massacre can't make the situation in danger any more clear. Our next guest is a journalist whose work has detailed the growth and spread of radical Islam, how they attract Muslims and others to violence, and light the fuse that results in the explosions of violence, which are now becoming more and more frequent, along with his reporting on The Watchman on CBN, CBN News. He's a best-selling author whose latest book is ISIS Exposed, Beheading, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. We say good morning to Eric Stackelback. Good morning, Eric.
Chris, good morning. Great to be back with you.
I wish we could talk about positive things, but it seems like, you know, it's the truth is painful, and this is another one of those instances. EricStackelback.com is Eric's website, video, audio, his books, and everything else. When you look at Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, how much do these two individuals represent the enemy that we are facing right now?
I think they represent the new face of the enemy, Chris. Look, 9/11 was obviously a massive attack with 19 hijackers, took meticulous planning for years, overseas operatives, etc. But the two San Bernardino jihadists, look, this was two people. This was a relatively, yes, they had a lot of ammunition, they were making pipe bombs, but compared to, say, a 9/11, Chris, this was relatively low tech. And this is the new face. What we're seeing is these self-starters, these homegrown jihadists. Yes, they had some overseas connections, but we're seeing more and more people here in the West, in America, and in Europe, who don't even necessarily need those overseas connections that the San Bernardino terrorists had. They're acting on their own. They're radicalized online. They're inspired by ISIS. You know, the FBI director, Chris, said recently that we have some 1,000 cases that the Bureau is investigating right here in the United States across all 50 states. So the barbarians are not just at the gates, they're inside the gates. And by the way, the House Homeland Security Committee here in Washington, D.C., where I'm sitting right now, said a few months ago that we've had some 250 U.S. citizens leave their comfortable homes here, travel overseas to join ISIS, and guess what? Dozens of them have already returned, according to Obama administration officials, and now that they're back, are they just going to transition peacefully back into civilian life? I doubt it.
No, new habits die hard, not just old habits. We're seeing a dangerous and curious dynamic here, too, because still to be determined, granted, but we're being led to believe that the wife, Tashfeen Malik, was the hardcore radical. She had attended, I believe, one of the most radical mosques in, you know, our friends in Saudi Arabia, and she was the one who was the catalyst to further convert her husband, Saeed Farouk, into a more radical Islamic belief. Is that a new method to the madness now?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, Chris. A few things here. The women of jihad, we see more and more women, including Western women, joining ISIS. Now, many times they're joining as what's called jihadi brides, where they become basically the bride, you might say the sex slave, sadly, of these ISIS fighters overseas. They're intrigued by the thrill of it all, and they go over there. But there is a growing number of Western women, it seems, who want to get involved in the fight, like Tashfeen Malik sadly did in California. They want to pick up arms. They want to be part of the jihad. So, yes, this is a growing strain. It's unclear whether she radicalized him or whether she kind of sped his radicalization up. We're hearing now, Chris, that Saeed Farouk was a pretty radical guy for some time, hated Israel, supported Hamas, and may have even been plotting an attack as far back as 2012. Without her assistance, but man, once she came along, as you said, things obviously, unfortunately, went into overdrive, and they carried out a horrific jihadist rampage, not workplace violence, Islamic terrorism, jihad.
We'll get to that in a moment. We're talking with Eric Stackelback. He, of course, the host of The Watchman on CBN News, author of books including his latest, ISIS Exposed, Beheading, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. EricStackelback.com and the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Let's backtrack with Obama's reaction to this, and especially his speech just about a week ago, which, you know, to my sense, he did something amazing. Obama managed to name the enemy without naming the enemy, who names himself, mainly radical Islam. But his initial, he just seems intent on when something like this happens, It's not what it is. What,
yeah.
I don't
yeah,
get
Chris,
that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're exactly right. It's see no Islam, hear no Islam. It really is. Look, not every Muslim is a terrorist. We understand that. But there is a growing and significant slice of the Muslim world that, yes, does subscribe to the ISIS point of view. I mean, it's undeniable. It's called radical Islam. It's called jihadist ideology. Terrorism is only a tactic. That terrorism is driven by an ideology. President Obama refuses to acknowledge that ideology even exists. Not only that, as you said, Chris, you know, this reminds me, actually, the aftermath of the San Bernardino massacre reminds me of the aftermath of Fort Hood and the Boston bombings, where the Obama administration and its friends in the mainstream media tied themselves in knots trying to blame anything but Islam and Islamic terrorist ideology for these attacks. And wringing their hands and say, well, maybe it was workplace violence. Maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he was picked on, so he lashed out. The American people are not stupid. People knew pretty quickly what this was. And it's sad that at the top, the leader of the free world, supposedly, we have this kind of... It's actually, to me, Chris, as an American, it's an embarrassment. It truly is to see our leader, our leadership, show such weakness to the world.
I mean, I'll never claim to be the brightest or the sharpest knife in the drawer, but having been talking about radical Islamic terrorism literally days after the September 11th attacks in all these years, when I heard about the attacks in Paris and I heard about suicide bombings, that raised my suspicion. When I heard about IEDs at the social service centers in San Bernardino, that raised my suspicions. And if you follow me on Facebook, you saw that I was probably among the earliest saying, I think we got something here, and I named the enemy that the Oval Office argument refuses to do. I've noticed something too, Eric, that we seem to have this inundation of leaders from the Organization of Care in the media now talking about peace and talking about unity and talking about togetherness. But when you look at CARE and their track record, CARE talking about fighting terrorism is sort of like Obama fighting terrorism. It's just a fantasy, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, this is part of the problem, Chris. We talk about trying to find moderate Muslims who oppose ISIS, who will stand up against this jihadist movement. And CARE is the enemy. I mean, CARE represents CARE and groups like it here in the U.S. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about this group of Muslim American organizations, CARE. There's a group called ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America. The Muslim American Society is another one. And these are all Muslim Brotherhood-connected groups. These are the preferred outreach partners for the Obama administration in the Muslim community. And these are the bad guys. Look, the Muslim Brotherhood, whose ideology the CARE and others adhere to, the Brotherhood is the granddaddy of them all when it comes to modern Islamic terrorism. They spawned Al-Qaeda. They spawned Hamas. The Muslim Brotherhood wants the same thing as ISIS. Yes, the tactics are different. Look, Muslim Brotherhood, these guys wear suits and ties, fluent in English, very eloquent, Western educated. ISIS, we know what they want. They want to kill us now. They're very clear about it. So their tactics are very different, but the end game is the same. Both the Brotherhood, ISIS, all radical Islamist groups want the return of the caliphate and Sharia law for one and all. Now, ISIS has declared a caliphate in the Middle East, in Syria and Iraq, and that's the main reason, Chris, why they've become such a magnet for radicals around the world who are flocking there to be a part of it.
And that declaration came pretty much according to plan, according to their handbook and their stated declarations and goals of whichever details in ISIS exposed of up to and including the year 2020 when their ultimate goal would be achieved. We're talking with Eric Stoukebeck, ISIS exposed, beheading, slavery, and the hellish reality of radical Islam, his latest book, host of The Watchman on CBN, ericstoukebeck.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Needless to say, as he is wont to do, Donald Trump speaks and gets reactions, but I don't think even he anticipated, in light of everything, the apologists and the enablers, what their negative reaction to is, and I'm going to boldface, all caps, underline this word, his plan to temporarily, that's a lot of syllables for some of you to understand, temporarily ban travel into America for Muslims until a system is put into place because, oh, by the way, Tashfeen Malik had a couple of little white lies on her visa application.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, But another poll I saw, almost two-thirds of America, thankfully, think Trump's got the right idea.
Yeah, I actually think, Chris, this is going to, while the mainstream media and kind of the political elites on both sides of the political aisle are howling about this, I think it's going to help them with the American people. I think that's the dirty little secret that our elites don't want to admit, that he's resonating with a significant chunk of the American people who are fed up. Now, I think it was counterproductive the way he maybe phrased it, but I think a timeout on immigration from countries like Yemen, Pakistan, Iran, Syria, and Iraq, my gosh, that's common sense. I've been calling for that for years, a timeout, a moratorium, as we are locked in a struggle against jihadists who are able to infiltrate this country pretty easily, it appears. That's just common sense. He didn't word it the right way. Obviously, he's going to have people like King Abdullah and the King of Saudi Arabia visiting here and coming to D.C., et cetera. But I think a timeout on immigration from terror-sponsoring countries in the Islamic world is common sense.
It is a broken system, and unless someone has a better idea of slamming the brakes and parking the cars, the best thing before you hit the wall or the wall hits you.
That's right.
Either case, if you want the, you can go along with the dial and wish for Shangri-La around you in your little part of the world, but that doesn't at all guarantee you any sort of safety. And as San Bernardino has hopefully made more people realize, not everyone, unfortunately, but more people realize, there is radical Islamic terrorism on American soil that's patient and will and can strike anywhere. To learn about their foundation and to learn about what their potential is, Eric's books are really the go-to for the education, the awareness that you need, that hopefully you will share with others in your life, too. His latest, ISIS Exposed, Beheading, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. On CBN News, it's The Watchman, ericstackelback.com, for everything that he's up to. Eric, you continue to speak truth, teach truth, and help people embrace the truth. For that, we thank you for being here this morning.
Chris, same to you. Thanks so much.